Hey everyone! A quick programming note before I dive into this week's episode. I just wrapped a guest appearance on the super cool podcast Armchair Historians, where I talked about my favorite history. Definitely go check it out and let me know your thoughts and what your favorite history is. You can find Armchair Historians wherever you get your podcasts. Now go enjoy this week's episode. Welcome to Civics and Coffee. My name is Alicia, and I am a self-professed history nerd. Each week, I'm going to chat about a topic on U.S. history and give you both the highlights and occasionally break down some of the complexities in history and share stories you may not remember learning in high school, all in the time it takes to enjoy a cup of coffee. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. This week, we are going to talk about perhaps the greatest piece of American propaganda to ever be produced, the Declaration of Independence. Now, before you get upset, hear me out. I'm not taking anything away from its importance or influence in the development of a new nation, nor am I discrediting its impact on the world for years to come. That would be just plain silly. But, as I will discuss, the document had no legal authority and established no form of government. Instead, it was a document intended to gain much-needed support and supplies for a cause not as widely supported as the Declaration would have you believe. Grab your coffee, peeps. Let's do it. In reviewing the creation of the Declaration of Independence, it's important to understand the conditions under which it was written. Let's take a snapshot of what was happening in that moment, shall we? It was 1776, and the American Revolution had started a year prior. So, the delegates at the Second Continental Congress weren't declaring war. And they weren't exactly creating a new government yet, since they were, for all intent and purposes, still very much under the British government. There is no pretty way to say it. They were committing treason. We call it rebellion and revolution. The British call it betrayal. Now, it happened to work out okay for most white men in America, saying nothing of the slaves or indigenous people of the time. However, there was no reason to publish the Declaration of Independence besides gaining public support and momentum. They were at war with Britain, and as we all know, war costs money, honey, and demands individuals willing and ready to sacrifice their lives. They had to have people ready to support the myriad of costs associated with such an act of defiance. And this is not to take away from the importance of the message and tone shared throughout the Declaration. It is a founding document, after all. It lays out the ideals on how America should be, something we still strive for some 250-plus years after its creation. It's also led to a number of oppressed individuals to fight for fair representation while using the Declaration as their guiding principle. However, its purpose was to influence and gain support for the colonies' push against what they perceived as tyrannical government. The concept of independence from Britain was not a new idea in 1776. The Massachusetts colony had been clamoring for their freedom from the supposed oppression for a few years at this point. Even at the Second Continental Congress, convened in May of 1775, South Carolina Representative John Rutledge asked, on May 16th, "Do we aim at independency? Or do we ask only for a restoration of rights?" Not everyone in attendance was ready to make such a drastic step, and many were most immediately focused on raising men and money to fund the war. A year later, on June 7, 1776, Virginia Representative Richard Henry Lee declared a three-part resolution to declare independence, form foreign alliances, and prepare a confederation of the states. This again stirred great commotion, and the delegates compromised and agreed to form committees to address all three resolutions, with a five-man committee selected to draft the resolution on independence. The men selected to work on this were Robert R. Livingston, Roger Sherman, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, and Thomas Jefferson, with Jefferson picked as the main author of the document. Benjamin Franklin was sick, Robert Livingston and Roger Sherman went back to their respective colonies, and John Adams was like, "Bro, you write so much better than I do. You got this." Adams also knew he had a reputation for being kind of a jerk and, committed to gaining separation in any manner possible, knew the call for independence would probably go over much better when authored by Jefferson, a Southerner. While we marvel at its gravitas today, The Declaration of Independence was not an exceptional document at the time, and it was not intended to be. It was only meant to be an expression of the American mind and to convey the proper tone and spirit called for by the occasion. The main goal was to explain why the colonists took to an uprising against their government. And though a very eloquent document, it wasn't an original inspiration written by Jefferson. Instead, he borrowed a little bit of here, a little bit of there, borrowing heavily from other documents such as Virginia's Declaration of Rights, and was also influenced by Thomas Paine's Common Sense, who argued the colonists should just get it over with and declare independence already. I guess plagiarism wasn't as big of an issue back in those days. For example, the philosophy of the Declaration of Independence, that the government is set up by the people to secure their life, liberty, and happiness, can be traced to John Locke in his Second Treatise on Government, which was published in 1689 in England. That prompted the establishment of the parliamentary system of government in England. Jefferson began by arguing that the right of revolution exists when certain conditions are met, establishing that basis of support. They didn't want to rebel against the king, as Jefferson writes. They simply had no choice. After setting up his premise, Jefferson dives into the list of grievances the colonies had against the king. This included things such as imposing taxes without consent, no taxation without representation, dissolving their right to assemble, and depriving the colonists' ability of a trial by jury. There was also a long section included in the Declaration that dealt with the ills of slavery. Kind of ironic, considering Jefferson's history with slaves, but we will save that for another episode. In addressing slavery, Jefferson laid the blame at the feet of King George III, claiming it was the king, and not the southern territories that had come to rely on the labor source, who had prevented the colonies from outlawing slavery and then turning around and using the slaves in rebellion against the colonists, writing, quote, "Determined to keep an open market where men should be bought and sold, he has prostituted his negative for suppressing every legislative attempt to prohibit or to restrain this exasperable commerce. And that this assemblage of horrors might no fact of distinguished die, he is now exciting those very people to rise in arms amongst us." This charge stems from a Lord Denmore declaration I discuss in an upcoming American Revolution episode, but as a spoiler, Denmore told the slaves, "Hey, you come fight with us, kick some colonist booty, and we will set you free." When the draft was presented on June 28th, the section dealing with slavery did not go well. The declaration was problematic enough for its inclusion that all men were created equal. The Southern delegates did not want to double down on this argument by also drawing attention to the fact that they held people in bondage. Unprepared to walk away from slavery, the full Congress struck the paragraph. Ironically, it was removed to help solidify the union of the colonies. Spoiler alert, it didn't work. The representatives voted to approve on July 2, 1776. John Adams famously declared that for generations to come, people would celebrate the document and claim of independence. And he was partially right. Officially adopted on July 4th, the Declaration of Independence set up the idea of a birth of a new nation, and America celebrates each year with blowing off fireworks, and occasionally some of our fingers. And though it was approved and adopted on July 4th, the document was not signed on the same day. Remember, Congress had edits and deletions to make on the original declaration, and therefore a new, unblemished copy would be needed for posterity. The final version was completed on July 19th, 1776, and delegates began signing on August 2nd. The declaration contains 56 signatures. The oldest to sign was Benjamin Franklin, who was 70 at the time. It also contains the signatures of two future presidents, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. The delegates signed the document in order of geography of the colonies from north to south, New Hampshire to Georgia. Two members did not sign the document, Robert Livingston and John Dickinson. Livingston had been recalled by his state before he could sign, and Dickinson felt the Congress was moving too quickly with declaring independence. He felt that Congress needed to adopt a basic framework of government before moving to sever ties with the British. And while the representatives at the Congress might have struck out the specific passage on slavery from the final document, some were inspired by the overall tone of all men being created equal. One such individual, a Pennsylvania merchant, was so motivated that he would free all of his slaves and work to purchase the freedom of his former slaves. Upon its completion, a merchant by the name of John Dunlap received a copy and reproduced the document as broadsides, which were basically the posters of yore. The declaration was read aloud from state houses throughout the colonies in an effort to gather public support in the push for independence, and by the end of July, a copy of the declaration appeared in almost 30 newspapers. Once it was public, statues of King George were pulled down and the casts were melted down to make bullets for the Continental Army. Pulling down statues. I'm telling you guys, history is very cyclical. An interesting fact, and in true American capitalistic fashion, copies of the Declaration of Independence would begin popping up in advertisements in newspapers after the War of 1812. Merchants would place ads for whatever product they were shilling right in the middle of the text. America, yo. And I hate to disappoint, for those of you who get your history and your lore from movies, they always point you wrong. There is no secret map or message written on the back of the Declaration of Independence. Sorry, National Treasure fans. The only thing written on the back of the document is Original Declaration of Independence, dated July 1776. Most documents were rolled up when they were stored, and so the title of the document included on the outside made it a little bit easier to locate. Lastly, while we call it the Declaration of Independence, that was not its original title. On July 19th, Congress voted the declaration be written on parchment with the title, quote, "The Unanimous Declaration of 13 United States of America," end quote. Yeah, Declaration of Independence has a better ring to it, methinks. The document currently sits at the National Archives under bulletproof glass. I got a chance to see it up close and personal. Well, as personal as they would let me get. And while truly awe-inspiring to see a document so old, much of it has faded with time. The poor document has been through quite a lot, including hanging in a glass case in full view of the sun for a few years. Oops. The Declaration made the argument that rebellion was moral and legal and provided a sense of patriotic community for the colonists being asked to risk their lives in the name of revolution. It shifted the tone of the war from that of a civil unrest within British colonies to a conflict between two nations, even if one hadn't completely been formed yet. And so, though it may have started as a way to draft public support for a conflict with their mother nation, the Declaration of Independence remains an important piece of American lexicon today. We still speak of the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and individuals throughout history have referenced the Declaration as their guiding light in their cause for equality. And that's not a bad legacy. Before I sign off this week, I'm going to do my social media plugs. If you've been enjoying Civics and Coffee, be sure to follow Civics and Coffee Instagram at Civics and Coffee, or hit up the Facebook at Civics and Coffee. You can also drop me a line or an email and request a topic at civicscoffeepod@gmail.com. For those of you who listen on Apple Podcasts, please throw me a review and a rating. I truly appreciate hearing from you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of Civics and Coffee. If you want to hear more small snippets from American history, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for joining me, and I look forward to our next cup of coffee together.